Well, thank you so much, and it's just lovely to be here. It just strikes me that I've got so many things to be thankful for in my life, and I just feel that sense that God is going to do something here in this place. And when I say this place, not just here in Headingley, but right across the congregations. One of my friends leads a church that has a sort of similar structure, where it's one church and many congregations, different expressions of church. And the church is called The Beacon. And one of the things that they talk about is one church, many beacons. And that's a vision that I can see just developing here, that we're one church together, the different congregations, but different expressions of church in different places. And us too, as individuals, beacons of light, reflecting the light of Jesus to our communities. And it's so exciting, and I feel very thankful. After seeing the video of the plane, I'm additionally thankful that I traveled up by train. There are issues with southern trains at the moment, so it's easy to get from King's Cross to Leeds. It's not so easy to get from Norwood Junction to King's Cross. So that's a strange thing. But train travel is clearly much better than plane travel, so I'm very thankful for that. It's great to be able to share on this vision weekend and these four things for the year ahead: prayer and encouragement and adventure and growth. There is a picture on the screen. I don't know if any of you know it. The Raft of the Medusa by a 19th century French artist called Théodore Géricault. And it is a painting of an aftermath of a famous shipwreck. And there are these people here who are on the raft. The picture is a bit faint, but I guess you can probably make out that they're not in a particularly good way. And they're there, there's this shipwreck. They realize that their position is perilous. And there are people here in the foreground who have effectively lost all hope. But a rescue ship has just appeared on the horizon. I probably would have needed to describe this to you anyway, because in the actual painting, it's quite tiny, but it's there. And a few people have seen it. You can see that there's a chap who is waving. There's someone else who is trying to attract someone's attention and say, rescue is here, salvation is here. And because they have seen this, then their whole bodies are animated, and from a position of despair, there is now hope. So in a sense, they're all in the same situation. They're all on the raft, but some people's attitudes have been transformed because they have this hope coming over the horizon. There is light, there is hope, there is salvation that's on the way. And we recognize that in our context, there are things that are perilous. As we think about the world around, as we think about our communities, there are many challenges as we seek to reach out with the gospel of God. It's hard. It's tough. And as we think about church life as well, there are so many encouragements. And I just think that so many things that are going on here are fantastic across the congregations. But we recognize that there are challenges as well. And we recognize that in a new chapter of the church's life, that there will be things that will change. And so there is excitement and there is opportunity, but there is challenge as well. And in the reading that we have, those things are very much present. And actually, they're in a perilous situation. Because the reading is so upbeat, because the text is so wonderful and lively, and we're excited by it, we can sort of miss the context. But actually, the disciples and the apostles are in trouble. Peter and John have been in prison because of their faith. They have been hauled up before the Sanhedrin, the 70 men who were the powerful people. And Pontius Pilate is mentioned, so you have the Romans as well. And they have the power to put people to death. And so it's a very, very difficult context for the early church. But they have seen something, and they know something. They're looking to God. They understand the gospel. They have appropriated the power of God. They are filled with the Holy Spirit, and so they are transformed. And they're able to transform their situation with God and for God. So a difficult context, a challenging context, and it's important to be realistic about ourselves and realistic about our world. But as we look to God and as we receive his power, then our context and our situations can be transformed. That's so exciting. And I hope that you're excited with me as we think about this new chapter in the life of the church. And these four things are so good for us as we move into the coming year. I've used the emojis that Nathan came up with for prayer and encouragement and so on through the 4 points. And they'll be there on the screen if we can have the next slide coming up. And the first thing that we're going to think about is prayer. And we see that this is a reading about prayer. And we see that prayer is taking place. And it's a very particular, very wonderful type of prayer. See, first of all, that it is kingdom-focused. It's pretty amazing what they don't pray for. I wonder if you thought about that, that they're under threat, they're under persecution, but they don't actually pray for the persecution to stop. They don't say, stop their threats, bring an end to their threats. They say, consider their threats. And they ask God to work in power, giving them boldness, filling them with the Holy Spirit, leading them on in mission and evangelism. They're not so much focused on themselves and their protection. Probably they did pray for that. But the primary focus is that the gospel would go out, that God would strengthen them in sharing. It is a kingdom-focused prayer. It's also a very specific prayer. Yes, sometimes we can pray prayers that are very, very vague and unspecific. And actually, we don't really know if God has brought the answer because we're not really sure what it is that we've actually prayed for. But this prayer is very specific. It is for God to work. It is for the powers of the age to come to break through in great degree. And it is for boldness themselves. And God answers that prayer. The place where they are meeting is shaken. And they are filled, all of them, with the Holy Spirit. And so it's a specific prayer. And the answer comes. And the answer is the answer to their prayers. God is at work. And it's also expectant. I think this is perhaps the key thing. And just going back to the painting that was on the screen earlier. Why is it that some of them have been changed? Well, they've seen something. They've seen that salvation is coming. And these men and women have seen something. They know God. And more than that, they have received his power. They have seen miracles work. The day of Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit has been poured out in a new way, in a fresh way. The tongues of fire, the speaking in tongues. God is at work. God is on the move. And because of that, they are expectant when they come in prayer. They know that God is sovereign, and they know that God is at work. Sometimes we say we believe in prayer, and that's good, and we do believe in prayer. But perhaps it is better to say we believe in a prayer-answering God. It is the power of God that we see here. It is God who is the hero of this story. And so they are expectant as they pray. How is God calling you? How is God calling us to pray in the year that is ahead? This is a good checklist. Prayer that is specific, prayer that is kingdom focused, and prayer that is expectant. The next thing is encouragement. And we read at the end of our reading about Barnabas, who is a true encourager. He lives up to his name, Joseph, but he's called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And encouragement is a wonderful thing, and we need that. And encouragement can be one of two types. You can have the encouragement that is just someone loving you and being alongside you and helping you. And we all need that. I know that I need that. Caring for one another, being alongside, speaking a word of comfort and grace, and sometimes just listening. You know, Job's comforters in the Old Testament, they come and they get almost everything wrong. But at the beginning, they get one thing right. They just sit with him and they listen and they are with him. They don't say anything. It's when they open their mouths that problems start. And isn't it often the way with some of us? We need that encouragement. We need to be alongside people. Perhaps God is calling you. Perhaps God is calling me to encourage someone very particularly in that way. But we can also have the more bracing type of encouragement, this urging on in the Christian life. On the screen is a scene from the Bayeux Tapestry. We visited it a couple of years ago when we were on holiday with friends, Anne and I. And I've never seen it before. And you can see it and it's all rolled out and you go around and look at it. And this wonderful commemoration of the Norman Conquest, 1066, and the battle that happened, the Battle of Hastings. And there is a particular panel that I've put up on the screen that features Bishop Odo. And I think the bishop is this guy here in full armor who is standing, waving his club in the air. He doesn't look much like a bishop, but then none of them do. And this is the era when bishops might be tempted to put on armor and go into battle. And the phrase in Latin that is above is Bishop Odo comforts his troops. Basically, he's encouraging them. And on this occasion, he's not sort of patting them on the head and saying, "Are you all right?" He's not just sitting and listening to them. He's actually waving this thing at them, and he's trying to turn them around. These guys are actually riding in the wrong direction. The Battle of Hastings ebbs and flows, and they've decided that they're having enough, and they're leading the fight. And the bishop is there, waving his club and getting them back into the action. And sometimes we need that bracing encouragement. We need someone urging us forward, challenging us. And I think Barnabas's act is fitting into both categories. He sells this field, he brings the money, he lays it at the apostles' feet, and it's a wonderful thing that releases funds for the gospel so that the poor and needy among the group are cared for. That is a gentle, comforting, alongside type of encouragement, but it's also an example and it's a challenge to others within the group. And there is this radical sharing that is taking place as the church comes together in unity. Prayer and encouragement. How is God calling you? How is God calling me to encourage each other in the year that lies ahead? After encouragement, we have adventure. And adventure is great. On the screen, we have Wernside. We've stretched out the picture, so it looks a little bit flatter than it would normally do. But part of the Three Peaks Walk, many of you will know this. I think I've mentioned before that I've done the Three Peaks, and it was just a wonderful adventure. I came up with my friends, And we camped. It's the first time that I've camped for ages. And we then set off very early because you have to do it within the time. Some of you will know this. And a number of things went wrong. The weather was terrible. So it was fog and it was rain and it was wind and it was cold. The leader of our group slipped and fell. So I think actually it was on Wernside that he fell and sort of crashed down on these rocks. Another guy who wasn't really used to walking, he injured himself. I don't really know why I'm telling this story, because it's not particularly encouraging in terms of just urging you forward on this risky adventure of faith. Maybe the moral of this that you're drawing is, I'm not going to go on a walk with him. But actually, I wasn't leading the trip, so I wasn't responsible. I was just tagging along. And it was a great adventure. It was really exciting. It was good fun. We just did it within the time. We ran in and we got the thing that you get from the shop. And it's great, you know, job done. It's adventure. I've got my mug that says I'm a member of the Three Peaks Club. And adventure is good. And it's something that God calls us to go on. And these verses in Acts live and breathe adventure. There is that a risky adventure of faith, but that sense that God is alongside for the journey. You know, we go on an adventure on our own. Say I'd have done this walk and it had just been me. It wouldn't have been the same. In fact, it would have been a high risk and it would have been very foolish. But we were with people who actually were quite experienced, who knew what they were doing. We had the right kit. We had a support car that followed us around, so you get chocolate bars. And you have that support. You're doing it together, but you're also with people who know what they're doing. And as we go on a risky adventure of faith together as God's church, which is South Parade, we're doing it together. And most importantly, God is with us. The power of the Holy Spirit filling, equipping the sovereign God who is high over all, who is working his purposes out in the church and in the world. What risks of faith is he calling you to take in the year that lies ahead? What adventure will he be calling us to as a church? Final thing is this thing about growth. And growth is something that is so encouraging when we see it. Growth in unity, growth in numbers, growth in maturity, and it's all happening here in Acts. These different types of growth, they're growing in unity. It's the apostles that were imprisoned, and yet they're all there praying. All is emphasized through these passage, and that sense of the church coming together with a common purpose. They're growing in maturity as they see God at work, and they're growing in numbers as they move out in evangelism. The vision that I'm beginning to share with people and just listen to what people are saying is to really grow the work here at Headingley. I can see real progress being made in terms of multicultural ministry, which is something that I've been involved in a lot in London and I'm so excited about. I think there are real opportunities to reach out to students and I'm so excited about that. And as the work here grows, then there is a resource for the other congregations that are part of the church. I'm excited about connecting with the leaders of all the different churches and just seeking God's mind about how we move forward together. And I can see this growth in unity and this growth in maturity and depth and this growth in numbers as we reach out together as being something that God wants to lead us into. There are no guarantees, and there are going to be doubtless disappointments and setbacks. I get the sense, and this may not be true, but I get the sense that you all really like me and you're really positive. I have to tell you, it's not going to last. I know it's not going to last. And there are going to be issues and struggles And you're going to be thinking, oh no. And there are sometimes when I'm going to be thinking, oh no. And there's going to be change. And it's okay if you're leading that. But if you feel that the change isn't quite what you had in mind, well, that's harder. And I recognize that. But it's so exciting. And I'm just so looking forward to working alongside you, working with you, getting to know you better, and seeing that growth in all its forms. For now, I want to encourage us to reflect together. How is God calling you to grow? It might be growth in holiness. It might be growth in prayer. It might be growth in knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. It might be growth in a whole myriad different ways. How is God calling you to contribute to the unity of the church? And how is God calling you to reach out? So often we overcomplicate things. And if we just think about the people who are here, plus maybe those who are listening online, if we were praying for 3 people to come to faith, and just supposing one of those people came to faith, and say a quarter of those people actually join the church here. Others might be going elsewhere because we're kingdom people, and yet we want to grow the church here as well. If that happens, there would be huge growth just in the next 12 months. And actually it's simple. It's not complicated. Who can you be praying for? Who can you be sharing with? And so the call to prayer, so the call to encouragement, so the call to adventure and excitement, and so the call to growth. And a call that we can heed and hear because we believe that God is with us. And we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what we see here in these verses is the result of our God who is with us still. And will be with us in the future. Who knows what God is going to do? Let's pause together. And we're going to sing a couple more songs. So maybe if the band can come back up. And just want us to be quiet together for a moment. As we reflect on these things. And as we reflect on our response.